Hello and welcome to the Total Mental Performance Podcast. Your host today is me, Dan, and I'm here with Ryan Buckingham. Ryan is an Evolution client of mine. We have now finished up the Evolution program and have rolled into our monthly Momentum program, whereby we meet once per month, slightly less frequently. And Ryan has been on a hell of a journey. Young guy, very ambitious, very successful for his age as well. And doing things slightly differently to a solopreneur coach, insofar as Ryan is representing a brand, NewGen, now after a recent rebrand. And I think it'd be really interesting for people to hear a slightly different side of coaching, rather than going down the one-man band route, fighting for ourselves, doing things that way. Ryan's gone a slightly different route. But we'll get to that a little bit later down the line. Ryan, welcome to the Total Mental Performance Podcast. It's been an honor working with you over the past few months. If you were to give the listeners and perhaps viewers an introduction into who you are, where you're from, what life looks like in Ryan's world, how would you do that?
Okay. First of all, obviously, thank you for having me on. And yes, so in terms of obviously who I am an online coach. Like Dan said, I represent NewGen, one of, if not the best coaching brand within the UK. We'll go with that. And I am a transformation coach within that. And we, essentially specialize in male transformations, physique development, lifestyle coaching, prep coaching, everything like that. So that's myself.
Nice. How did you get into coaching? What was your journey like? Everybody who winds up becoming a coach or a therapist or somebody who helps somebody else usually has some kind of story which involves some adversity. You know, there's a period of our life whereby we look in the mirror and we're not entirely satisfied with the person that we're becoming. So we take action. That action often will begin with physical development, whereby we work on our fitness and our health to the point where we start to see positive impacts physically, aesthetically, and then later move on to kind of the emotional and psychological development, much in the same way that you have. You followed that journey almost to a T. Where did it start for you? Like, if you were to take us back to the point of Ryan's life whereby he looked in the mirror and he went, nah, fuck this, I'm not happy where this is going. What was going on for him?
I think you literally hit the nail on the head there in terms of that is pretty much the exact journey that I've followed. So essentially, I think we can even kind of bring it back to like school times, right? And it's just almost like, all right, let's bring it right back to the start of the story. But I think it can kind of come to that and a kind of a young boy, should we say, at the time, like late teens, but that just kind of wanted to fit in, wanted almost like attention, right? I was typically the stick, right? Skin and bone, very, very scrawny. I remember trying to do things like roll my cuffs up on my t-shirt sleeves, fold them over so they would be tight, right? To try and make it look like my arms were bigger. So it's stuff like that. And there was a real kind of lack of self-confidence within. Then essentially got myself into the gym. Like, that's kind of to the point where enough was enough. Like, I thought that would bring more confidence to me, which it absolutely did. I think like it's quite relatable in terms of like, there's nothing too deep behind it, but it's almost like, right, okay, this will build my confidence within women, right? Or like attracting, like how so many young guys want it to be like, or at least that's what they think it does anyway, like attracting women, these types of things. So it's just kind of like bringing that confidence to myself, like you said. Like you start to develop that discipline, and kind of start to see like, holy shit, if I actually see this through, like I'm gonna see results, right? And then you start to transform your body, like you said, you start to transform your mind, you start to get into a little bit more in terms of personal development, and that kind of almost starts to bring it round like full circle as to why I got into coaching. Well, it's to help people that potentially were feeling the same way that I have been through multiple periods of my life now trying to help them get to where they want to get to, right? Starting to think about maximizing their full potential, whether that is through physique, whether it's through mindset, whether it's through relationships. It's bringing that all together as like a fitness journey. But of course, it all kind of coincides. And once you start to build some momentum through like transforming the body, building more confidence, more this, more that, then everything else starts to kind of just roll. You know, it's like having a set of dominoes, and you just flip the first one, and then it all just kind of starts to fall into place off the back of that.
It often does. Then what we often see is that domino 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 drop, and then it'll get domino 6, and there'll be something stopping it from going, right? And what I mean by that is we've got different pillars, and this is something that I've explained to you previously. We've got like different pillars of self. We've got our physical, our mental, our health, our emotional. And what we find often is that when we develop ourselves physically, we start moving at one hell of a pace, but then we actually recognize in becoming more confident within ourselves that there's elements of our mind that can't quite get to the same level that our body or our health is at, right? Which is where the kind of mental development or performance coaching comes into it. So if we go back around 5 months or so ago, which is when I believe we started working together, what was going on in Ryan's world at that time, which inspired him to raise his hand and ask for support from TMP?
So it's actually almost very similar to how we kind of discussed in terms of why I started training, why I started getting into the gym. Is I'm at a position right now where I've started coaching. And for anyone that doesn't know, I started and I transitioned from a retail job and transitioned into one-to-one PT, and then joined what was Benbury Coaching to then transition into NewGen. And all of that kind of happened, or the transition to being a full-time online coach happened within like 6 weeks of me joining that brand. So all of a sudden, my presence online had to be there, shall we say, right? There's a presence that needs to be had. And I think a lot of the struggles that I was facing were facing things like social media, which I know is a big fear for a lot of people, is to start putting yourself out there. It certainly was. I'm certainly a lot better now, and I feel a lot more comfortable within social media now. But that was kind of one of the main ones, was backing myself enough to be on social media, trying to start to showcase my personality a lot more on social media. That was always kind of a little bit of like a mind block. So that was one, I think, in terms of managing just even sometimes day-to-day routines, like not day-to-day routines, but you know what I mean? Like trying to get to the next level in terms of productivity. There's always the whole self-employed thing, and you can, once you're an online coach, you can work for anywhere in the world, right? And the whole world is like, it can revolve around you, but actually you need to build out these systems and everything like that in place for the time to work for you. Otherwise you are just going to constantly be chasing the clock. If you don't prepare, if you're not organized, like you're going to lack productivity, you're going to lack these types of things. So I think it was trying to beat these types of things, some procrastination in there somewhere, but a lot of that is kind of coming down to the core. But those were the kind of the main issues there, like again, coming in with a confidence thing, sometimes a self-belief thing, that I actually can continue to push on and actually showcase myself on social media and kind of show my worth within that too. So yeah.
What we're talking about here is a fear of judgment, right? That was the first thing that we identified even before we actually engaged in a working relationship. The thing that we identified was a fear of judgment, or even a fear of exposure, because putting content out online can be experienced at various different levels. We see a lot of coaches who are singing from the same hymn sheet a lot of the time, and it ends up becoming a little bit of an echo chamber. And if you're doing that, you're saying things, producing content that you've seen somewhere else, and you're almost just repeating it, then really the fear of exposure isn't that large because you've seen somebody else do it and you've kind of got validation that it works to some degree. But what you wanted to do was to be you, to just present as Ryan and be more authentic. Now, when you do that, you really are exposing yourself, because to be authentic is to be vulnerable. You're standing up for what you believe in. There might be some controversial beliefs that you put out there. And in doing so, not everyone's going to like it. You are going to get some people who reject what you say. So what were the emotions that were coming up for you at that moment in time? You know, exposure has increased. You've got to be more present, especially as you're representing a very, very large and successful coaching business. There's a lot of pressure that comes with that, right? Because there's a certain standard that you've got to meet in that position. What were the emotions that were coming up for you there?
The final bit there is absolutely bang on, in terms of there's a standard within the brand. There's a lot of good content going on, shall we say, and stuff like that. And I think there's a point where you always want to feel like you don't want to disappoint. You know, there's a level, and you want to make sure you're also there. You know, and there's the fear of not only the like necessarily like judgment of others, but there's also fear of, right, okay, is this gonna fit in with X? Is this gonna fit in with Y as to how we want to move things? And one of the best things for me personally that we did was when we rebranded, me being labeled, well, not labeled, but like having the role of lifestyle coaching, right? Where of course it's more transformation based, et cetera, et cetera. But having that, and then me almost thinking, right, okay, well, I can have a little bit more, not going to say fun with it now, but that's kind of how that's gone down. But in terms of like the emotions that were being felt, there's definitely like fear of judgment. There's potential. I don't know. Like, I think that is the main one. Is the fear of judgment. And some of the content I've been putting out recently has been more skit based, and it's been trying to do this, and it's been trying to share more of personal experiences, whether that's been through writing or whether that's been through video. And there is almost that bit of, it's almost like a big gulp. It is like, oh, I really hope this kind of goes down quite well. But you get used to it a little bit more over time. And that personality starts to, or I hope it's starting to come across a little bit better. So yeah, I think as you said, it's that fear of judgment and making sure that it's up to the level that it needs to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Really interesting point here. I say this to my clients often, and I'm pretty sure I've said it to you. If there's something that you're writing or filming or whatever, and it makes you feel uncomfortable before you hit post, probably a good sign that you're being authentic.
Yeah, exactly that. There's been some more content that I've been putting out recently that has been me trying to be funny, or at least I hope that it lands. But it's that you're like, oh, do I really want to post this? Well, let's post it, bang. And then 9 times out of 10, or to be fair, 10 times out of 10 so far, it's been received well. But I think that is bang on. If it's making you feel uncomfortable, whether it's before hitting the post button or anything, a lot of the time it's where you need to be, right? Yeah. It's that uncomfortable feeling is like, that's the sign of, yeah, you're where you need to be, mate. Like, do the thing that you need to do, because that's a lot of the time just what's stopping you from going to that next level. Where, what in whatever kind of area that we're in, it's that feeling. A lot of the time we know what we need to do. It's a case of doing it.
Yeah. Inconvenient truth about growth is that it's really fucking uncomfortable. It's not a nice place to be. By definition, growth is putting yourself into a position that you've never been before. It's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be unfamiliar. Of course, it's going to make you feel a little bit anxious, a little bit stressed, and a little bit afraid. But in the case of content and authenticity, every rejection takes you one step closer to authenticity. And as I've shared, a yes or no is just data, right? It's just information.
Yeah.
Particularly on social media, you wouldn't even know if somebody didn't like it. Like, how many times have you posted something and it's got completely rejected? Probably never. It doesn't happen.
It's this
unfounded fear based on something that we've experienced in the past. That's where these difficult emotions come from. It's like a projector is imagining a worst case scenario future based on some kind of experience that we've had in the past. That's how the mind works. When we're growing up, we're forming a series of different memories and associated emotions that we experienced within those memories. And our unconscious mind is playing a game of snap based on what kind of stimulus we receive in through our senses. So if, for example, we're writing out a really, really vulnerable post, trying to talk through our story, our trials and tribulations, to try and connect with our audience, to demonstrate that we are empathetic to what they are going through, that's us being authentic, which makes us feel exposed and vulnerable. And the emotions that we would likely be experiencing in that moment are anxiety or fear. And that's because we're imagining a potential scenario of rejection based on something similar to rejection that we've experienced in the past. Or maybe not even rejection, just some kind of similar emotion. The unconscious mind is quite primitive, really. It doesn't need an exact match. It just has to be somewhat similar, and it will generate the same emotion that we experienced in the past. So one of the processes that we did whilst working together was a really, really transformational moment for you. And I can remember it very clearly. I'm not going to give too much away. I'm going to let you tell the story because I don't want to butcher it for you. But there was a memory that you had when you were on a holiday with friends. Does that trigger the session that I'm referring to for you?
Yeah, the one from Ayanapa.
That's the one. Yeah. Would you mind sharing that just for the audience, and like how that pieced together with the social media challenges?
Yes. It's gonna take a lot to try and circle it all back around, but yes. So essentially, there was an incident in which I was away on a boys' holiday whilst we were in Ayanapa. It was the early hours of the morning. We were stumbling about, shall we say, but we'd met another group of lads kind of along the way, and we were just kind of outside of this hotel. Now, off the back of these group of lads came running back to us. There was only about three of us boys at the time. Bearing in mind, we went out in a group of about 12. There's only about three of us there. And one of their friends had been essentially like beaten up out the front of their stuff, out the front of their place, all of their stuff stolen, everything like that. Now, these other boys had come out asking us what had happened. Had we done it? Had we seen anyone, this, that, and the other? Off the back of that, there was then a knife pulled, which at the time obviously sent me into what we'd, well, it was pretty anxious time. There's a lot of fear of just like, whoa, like, let's just calm the situation down and like get out. Now, fortunately, obviously nothing happened within that. And it was only just kind of like, I don't even know how to kind of describe it, like a precautionary measure. Mm-hmm. We fast forward a couple of years now, because this is when I was a little bit younger, and I was in London this year, and we were going through some back roads. Now, I was with a couple of friends. They were completely different friends, but within that, that same feeling and that same feeling and level of anxiety had been brought back to life. And at the time, it was almost, and it was also going through a period where I was preparing for the rebrand, where I also then had to do my first piece of public speaking. So emotions were already very, very high. Anxiety levels were quite high. And all of a sudden, it kind of just brought me back to this moment within, because it didn't feel safe. Me and my friends had a few nice pieces on, this, that, and the other. And it wasn't a nice place to be. And it brought back that emotion. I just wanted to get out instantly. So that's this kind of story behind that. Now I need to try and link it back around.
Let me help you out with that. Yeah. So the emotion is the clue here. Emotions remain the same regardless of what kind of experience we are stepping into, i.e. I could step on stage, and this used to be a big fear of mine, stepping onto stage and experiencing performance anxiety. That anxiety is always going to stay the same in terms of the feeling. For me, my version of anxiety will be different to yours, but the actual experience emotionally of anxiety will always stay the same regardless of what we do. So I could stand up in front of a crowd of people. I could go to a really important meeting where I was worried about, presenting in a right way, or I could be going on a first date and really care for the girl, and that could make me feel anxious. The underlying undercurrent of emotion would always be experienced in pretty much the same way. So what we did in that session, shortly after you had that alleyway experience whereby you was feeling really anxious and worried and you wanted to get out that situation, is we did something called a body-informed timeline. So a timeline is a therapy process whereby we can use some kind of either emotion or belief that's experienced in the present moment, almost as like a land flag that we plant in the ground. And that serves as an anchor for us to travel back along this timeline, which you would form in your unconscious mind, to understand where that comes from. And we used the anxiety that you felt, which was still active as a result of being in that alleyway and trying to put authentic content on social media. It's the same kind of feeling, right? We used that as that anxiety as our land anchor to travel back along Ryan's timeline to understand, well, what was the last event in the past connected to that anxiety? Boom, there's a match. It was the alleyway. Okay. Good. We're onto something there. If we go even further and travel back along the timeline to the very first event connected to that anxiety, what do we find? Lo and behold, in your case, it was that memory that you had in Ayia Napa whereby there was a knife pulled. Because what happened to you at that moment in time was the fight or flight, or actually probably freeze response. We go into one of four responses. Everybody's generally got a preference, but we can all utilize all of these states. We don't want to because they're not pleasant, but it's fight, pretty self-explanatory. If we encounter a situation that kind of startles us and makes us feel uncomfortable, we just want to fight our way out. Flight, get the fuck out of there, run away, don't want to have anything to do with this. Freeze, self-explanatory. This is the one which I used to experience a lot. If I used to get an overwhelming amount of emotion coming through me, I just freeze. It's almost like being stuck inside my own body and I couldn't do anything about it. Or fawn. So fawn is a lesser known one, but if you imagine a deer or a dog, my dog does this. If my dog feels threatened by another dog, he'll just lie on his back and put his paws up in the air. She's just fawning. Oh, I don't want anything. It's like, I surrender. I don't want any of this. Doesn't happen so often with humans, but it can do. If you go back to that memory where a knife was pulled for you, what would you say you went into? Fight, flight, freeze, or fawn?
It was, I think for me personally, it was a freeze. And then the situation was handled. And then it was more of just like a flight. Get me out of that situation, basically. Which, was interesting. So,
And would you say that those two responses were similar to what you were feeling in the social media scenario and what you were experiencing in the alleyway scenario as well?
Yeah. So in London, it's definitely a situation of flight. Get me out of this situation. And almost sometimes with social media, and even sometimes I still do this, it's post, get rid of the phone. I don't want to see it. Right. I don't want to see it. Let it just do its thing. And 15 minutes later, you come back and go, oh, that's done all right. Yeah, cool. But it's one of those where you, bringing that link all the way back around has helped, you know. And I don't get the same feelings quite so much now in terms of social media, which is nice, because obviously we've done some work within that. But even still, yeah.
Yeah. So as hopefully our listeners are starting to piece together now, what we're experiencing in the present is very rarely actually about something that's happening in the present. It's often coming from a deeper place, some point in the past. So if anyone listening back to this is feeling curious and inspired by this, particularly around the social media conversation, because I know that there's going to be a lot of coaches out there who experience that same level of anxiety and uncertainty when it comes to putting an authentic version of themselves out there. I'd like you to ask yourself, what of those four responses could be getting triggered for you? Fight, flight, freeze, or fawn. And then grab yourself a piece of paper, write down whatever the response is, and then draw a timeline going back to the other page, other side of the page, and then try and piece together which memories from your past are potentially connected to that fight, flight, freeze, or fawn response. And I think you'd be surprised at what comes out of that, because there will always be something. Use the feeling as your guide and see where you end up. So that's really cool. So what's life like for you now on the opposite side of the program, having graduated, still continuing, making the most of the momentum insurance policy, as we call it? But what would you say has been your biggest mindset shift over the last 5 months?
I think that's very difficult to pinpoint down into one. But I think my biggest mindset shift is, it might not even be labeled as a mindset shift, but I think it's the ability to now try, see what the response is within myself, and then adjust and go. So it's plan, execute, you get your feelings, you see what's going right, you see what potentially is not going right, cool. I've now got the emotional intelligence to go, right, let's get rid of that, or let's adjust this, and now let's push forward. And that's something that I was never able to do. It was a case of I'm stuck. There's no way of potentially where that's going. And I lacked the emotional, the emotional intelligence to know how I was feeling and how to respond to that feeling. Basically, there was a lot of, I think, confusion around my own emotions, where I hadn't dived into it to obviously where I needed to start to unpack things in terms of the previous potential causes. And now I'm in a position where it's like, right, okay, well, it's a feeling. And with that feeling, that can guide me to where I actually need to go. And then what I need to do. I think, like I said earlier, like when you start to feel that feeling and you'll know what it is, it's often a sign of, yeah, that's what you need to continue to do, or you know what you need to do to push forwards.
Yeah. And as human beings, we don't want to feel pain, right? We don't want to feel discomfort. So when we experience a challenging emotion, our natural inclination is to run away from it and suppress it and push it away. But that is no way to build emotional intelligence, as you're referring to here, because the more we suppress and unacknowledge our difficulties and our struggles, the less in touch with ourselves we are. So when we do experience discomfort, which we will, we are human, we are always going to experience difficulties, no matter how hard we try to create perfect conditions in our life, shit happens. And occasionally it's going to be uncomfortable. If we're not familiar with going into the darkness and experiencing pain, then when we do encounter those moments of difficulty, our challenging emotions are going to run away from us. and we're not going to know what to do. So we end up feeling really stressed, really overwhelmed, super anxious, and then we just shut down. And as high performers, that's not an option, because there are people who are counting on us, particularly people like you and I. In many ways, we're actually quite similar. So we're both representing brands. I'm representing TMP, you're representing NewGen, and there are people who are counting on us. We have to show up. But that's total mental performance, right? The ability to think, feel, and perform even when things aren't going your way. And that doesn't mean we push away and suppress all of our emotions. It means that we can understand them, recognize them when they come in and go, ah, I know that. I've experienced that before. That's sadness or grief or anxiety or stress, whatever it is. Okay, I've done quite a lot of work with this weird energy that's flowing around me at this point. I now understand that I can just put a little box around that. I can move it aside for a minute. I can get task A, B, and C done, and then I can bring it back into the picture and I can go, right, let's have a look in that box. Let's see what work needs to be done. And what we're talking about here is emotional mastery. Emotional mastery is the ability to understand, articulate, and I was going to use the word manipulate, but that's kind of got a negative connotation. Arrange our emotions in a way that will be most conducive to our performance and growth. Is that something you would agree with and feel like you've maybe perhaps not 100% achieved, because it's not a destination we arrive at. It's a process. Mm-hmm. But does that resonate how I've explained
that? Definitely. Definitely. And I think what you said there is super, super important. And not just because we have clients, right, that we have to turn up for every single day too. And you can't, you can, but it's not going to go down too well. You can't bring that negative, say if something negative is going on in your life, or there's emotions that are impacting you, that can't be pushed onto them, you know. And you've got to, like you said there, sometimes it's a case of you've just got to get the job done, right? And like you said, you can put that feeling in a box, you know that you felt that before, and then you can almost deal with it later, if you know what I mean, like whether that's the end of the day, whether that's the end of the week, and do the work that you know that you need to in order to navigate that emotion and get yourself back on the board. I think that's a big thing. And I think one of the most valuable calls that we've had from the momentum is that time where things for me potentially felt like there was no momentum coming my way and things, I couldn't get things moving. But a lot of the time it's getting yourself back on the board, shooting again, gathering momentum. And then that's obviously off the back of that where you can see progress start to come back in, and then you'll feel like better within yourself. You'll this, that, and the other. It all obviously snowballs off the back of that. But we all have blips. We all have like bumps in the road, in the road, that we, over time, as that emotional intelligence and everything like that evolves, become smaller. They become less duration. And you have the skills to then navigate them. But they're always inevitable, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. I'm sat here now. I don't know how many hours of therapy and mental performance coaching I've done, probably upwards of 120, 150, I'd say. Mm. And there are still some things which trigger me. It happens a lot less frequently these days. And that's the biggest difference that I've noticed. There was a moment in time before I'd done any therapy or coaching, I felt like my emotions had control of me all the time. And I had no other option than to surrender to them and let them take control. And when I experienced a low, it was a real low, like a heavy, heavy low, where I just had to down tools and sit with it. And that does still happen sometimes, but there's this ability to move emotion around and still keep the wheels on the bus moving. And as I said, they're a lot less frequent. There are some situations which do bring out old wounds in me, and that's normal. That's a perfectly normal part of being human. I remember speaking to my therapist, who I still work with now. He's 25 years into his therapy career. So he's 25 years into doing therapy himself. And he said exactly the same thing with me. Even after that amount of time, there are still moments where something will open up an unprocessed wound within him. And we do performance coaching and therapy continuously and often have to go back and work on the same wounds. That's normal because something will get triggered in a slightly yes. different way to it has in the past. And it opens up a different dimension or a different lens of that wound. And that's okay. I think there's a lot of power and self-acceptance in recognizing that actually personal development is never going to end. It is a continuous and ongoing journey. So there's no need to push at 100% all the fucking time because it's an infinite game. And in an infinite game, there are no winners. There are no winners. There are no losers. It's a game that you play for the sheer joy of playing the game.
Yeah, so and improving yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
It's obviously it's no one against anyone, or there's no winners, no losers, but it's like you versus you. Can you continue to better yourself day by day? You know, yeah. And with that and those 1% every single day, that's where in anything, that's where you get better. You know, and of course we're just talking about kind of from a mental standpoint then, but yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, 100%. And just to take things back to that session that you mentioned a moment ago, one of our most recent ones, which was really interesting, actually, where even after doing a lot of the deep inner work that you had done, you arrived at that call and you're just a bit like, a bit flat, a bit demotivated, didn't really have a lot in the tank. It's like, what's going on, dude? You think it was just a bit of a slow moment, and that's gonna happen. And a lot of coaches do have an expectation to have hundreds of leads flowing in every week, new clients converting all the time. And unfortunately, it just doesn't work like that. That's just not how we can expect a business to run and operate. Because if we do, we're going to be massively disappointed. We're probably going to end up yes. resenting the business because we've got a very unrealistic expectation around what our growth would be. Something which comes to me based on that session that we did there was your terminology around certain tasks. So what we did was we just kind of unpacked, right, what's Ryan doing in a day? What does a typical day look like? What parts of it are we enjoying? What parts of it are we not enjoying? And I remember you saying that most of the needle movers I am getting done. That was the terminology that you used. Yeah. That's interesting. I've not heard that before. What is a needle mover? And you basically explained to me that your way of defining a needle mover is the kind of tasks that you absolutely have to get done as a bare minimum, right? So it's kind of posting client messages, whatever else it might be for you. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it's the stuff that you must get done. And I said, well, instead of calling it a needle mover, why don't we reframe it as a non-negotiable? Because a needle mover to me almost has an element of being optional, which yes. is why not all of it was getting done.
It was getting done.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
It was the things like as you said there, potentially social media posts, education blocks, these types of things where it'd be put, I think I put it in between a block of like 5 to 8 after I train in the evening. And it was almost like, we had an option with that.
Yeah. Sorry, Ryan, just a second. You know,
that's okay.
You know, what's happened there. This is so funny. I did that yesterday. I came onto this platform yesterday and Kieran was already shooting a podcast with somebody. So I'd imagine that what's going on here is Kieran's going to be shooting a podcast in 15 minutes. Yeah.
I would imagine so too. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's not live. It's the beauty of technology, mate. We can just crop it out. So let's, I'm conscious that Kieran's probably going to be jumping on here. We're already at pretty much 40 minutes. So we'll just roll back into that bit of the non-negotiables. And then I'll just organically bring the podcast to a close. Is that okay?
Cool. Yeah, of course. Yeah. So obviously in regard to the needle movers as such, they were essentially tasks, like Dan said, that were being almost framed as optional. Now, in order for me to push forward the way that I want and to start hitting the targets that I wanted to, well, they can't be labeled as needle movers. They need to be labeled as non-negotiables, right? So for example, it was things like education blocks, it was things like social media posts, it was things like even doing outreach, for example, these types of things, and sparking those to go alongside the goals that I had, the actions that needed to be taken to get to where I needed to be, and they couldn't be procrastinated any longer. Like this, it's one of those where, like, okay, I want to upskill as a coach, right? Well, okay, cool. Well, those education blocks need to go in, right? Well, we want to get more leads into working like with myself as a coach, of course, right? Okay, well, cool. Let's spark up more conversations. All right, and how are we going to spark up more conversations? Well, it's by posting on social media, it's by being authentic, it's by doing this, it's by doing that. And that all then comes back around to the goals that we're working towards. And if you label them incorrectly, or almost have it in potentially sometimes in a time where you know that you don't really want to do it, then, well, 9 times out of 10, it's not going to get done. So it's, and I think there's obviously that great analogy of sometimes of like eating the frog, of like getting the most difficult task done out of the way, or the task potentially that you don't want to do the most, right? Out of the way. And that can obviously be good for that too. Not that I necessarily do it, but that could obviously be good for that too. So yeah, it was just that shift in the wording that we used for it.
Yeah. Sometimes it's the simplest changes that can have the biggest effect. And, you know, particularly as people like us who are probably planning out structures on tools like Google Calendar, if we're seeing words like needle mover and an unconscious level, we're interpreting that as being optional. Well, guess what? We're not going to get it done. Yeah. Really simple change and reframing it as a non-negotiable. So awesome to hear that that's worked for you. This has been really enjoyable, mate. It's been awesome to, I've learned more about you even after spending such a lot of time together over the past few months. A question that I always finish up with, and you might have heard this listening to TMP podcasts in the past, is asking our guests to define what total mental performance is to them. So, Ryan, what is total mental performance to you?
I think it would obviously be easy to come in. I think the way that I kind of summed it up earlier in terms of what I've learned from total mental performance in terms of being able to adapt and like be water, all of these types of things, and being able to, total mental performance for me is being able to kind of continue to operate at the level that you know you are able to, whilst continually progressing, and if something comes along your way, having the ability to be able to keep things moving, I think is quite a good way to describe it. It might have been a little bit of a long-winded way to describe it because I'm still trying to articulate it. But that's kind of how I would describe total mental performance, is being able to perform at your best, adapt to what's kind of being around you, and deal with any potential challenges that come along your way and still be able to get the job done.
Boom. I love that. That's a great definition. Thank you so much. Ryan, where can our audience find you online? What social platforms do you
on? I mainly just use Instagram at the moment. That is Ryan with two N's, _ newgen, because I couldn't get the username I wanted. And then on TikTok as well, just as Ryan Buckingham 99, I think. So yeah, on both of those. So yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much. It's been great having you on.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Nice one.
So that's us for today, team. I want to say a huge thank you for spending this portion of your life listening to us. A couple of things before you disappear. If you're not already following us on Instagram, you can find all of our daily content on mindset and hitting peak performance at Total Mental Performance, or our website, www.totalmentalperformance.com. If you haven't already, please subscribe. You'll find us on Spotify, the Apple Podcasts, and all the other various different platforms. Big love. Thank you ever so much. And we're looking forward to speaking with you soon.